Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Thanks be to God.
It was about this time of year in 2018 when my husband, Grant, who I'd been married to for 16 years at the time and had been serving in the Navy for more than 20 years, decided it was time to retire. We knew that the end of that year would bring a lot of change, but we were excited. For the first time in our married life, we were going to have control over it. We would be able to live together without worrying that work was going to drag him away from us for weeks or months, and as it happened twice, for more than a year. And we could live wherever we chose. And if we didn't like it, we could move without a literal and figurative act of Congress. We had been living in our RV with our two children, James and Annabelle. Annabelle's almost 16 and James is 18, but they were 9 and 11 at the time. And we'd been living in our RV for about 6 years, and we had become incredibly comfortable with that. We didn't have a lot of room in this tiny house, but it meant we didn't buy things, and we felt like the whole world was our front yard. We absolutely loved it. We had become close with the campground owners, and they had offered us a position working at one of their campgrounds. We had dreams of mountain views and country life. It was going to be a great year. At the beginning of October, we began going through two massive storage units. Everything that we had been shoved into these units and had been stored for 6 years. Every single thing had to be sorted through, recycled, sold, purged. By mid-October, it only took a couple of weeks and a couple of really big 1-800-GOT-JUNK dumpsters. We had gotten rid of everything and moved everything into a gooseneck storage trailer. It was organized with our most treasured possessions, and we were ready to move out of state and start our new life. Grant's last day on active duty was October 18th. By October 23rd, we found out that the campground position we had dreamed of wasn't going to work out. Instead of living in an alpine mountain in the country, we were going to be moving to a dusty desert mountain very close to a very large city. We knew that wasn't what we wanted, but we didn't have a backup plan. We didn't know where we were going to go, where we were going to live. We didn't have any other jobs lined up. We knew we didn't want to stay where we were, but we didn't know where we were supposed to go either. But my mom lived in Caldwell, so we drove up here just to see. And on October 29th, we signed paperwork and had an RV spot near my mom's house in Caldwell. By November 10th, we were moved into our new space. But neither one of us had jobs. We had left everything we'd known, moved to a new place, and we weren't sure what was going to happen. It was terrifying. But by faith, we somehow knew that this was the right thing for us and our family. No matter what crazy things happened with the RV that winter, we knew we were where God had called us to be. And that wasn't the first time we stepped out as a family. But looking back, this was a huge, pivotal moment for each of our lives and our faith journeys. And it was definitely stepping out of something comfortable and safe and into something new. Last week, we started the celebration of Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus who emerged from the tomb, Jesus who conquered death, and in doing so, transformed his followers, their faith, and our world. And if you missed last week, Pastor Mia talked about wombs and tombs and cocoons and how we and all of creation are a part of that transformation and resurrection that we celebrate in Easter. She brought up how hard it can be to leave these dark places, even if maybe sometimes they're not the best places for us, but at least they're known. It's hard to leave what we know for what is uncertain. And it's incredibly difficult to come out of somewhere comfortable when we don't know what's on the other side. And so I was telling a friend last week that I was giving this sermon and talking about this thing, and she said the words, safe grave. And those words have stuck with me all week. Cocoons and wombs and tombs and graves all can be safe places, but they're not where life happens. In fact, two of those are where we think about life ending. But because of Jesus, it doesn't matter whether you think of a womb, a tomb, a cocoon, or a grave. They're all now where life begins. And like Pastor Mia said, sometimes we get stuck in those places afraid to come out. So this morning I'm inviting you to wonder with me about what it means to come out of our safe graves. What will happen if we, like babies and butterflies, leave our dark, comfortable places? What happens when we choose to step with Jesus out of our tombs, out of our safe graves, and take the next faithful step into resurrection life? And I'm going to read our scripture again. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen is not made out of what is visible. If you continue reading through chapters 11, you actually get a really extensive list of a whole bunch of people in the Bible and a summary of what they did. We hear that Noah built an ark by faith, and Sarah gave birth to a child in her old age by faith. Moses led God's people out of Egypt. And the list goes on, and even the author of Hebrews says that the list is too long to share in a letter, so it's probably too long to read in a sermon, too. But our sermon title is Coming Out, Leaving Comfortable Places. We hear those words, coming out, and we think about brave people who have stepped out of closets, relationships, and addictions. We think of people who have done really, really hard things. For many of us, the term coming out doesn't seem to apply. We don't think about how God might be asking us to come out of a comfortable place and a space that we are in and into something new. But if we look back at that list of people that we read in Hebrews 11, we might recognize that each person came to a turning point and they had to make a choice to stay comfortable where they are or to come out of that place and step into something new. Did you know that your body is biologically programmed to come out? Anyone who's given birth will tell you there is an eviction date. But we are programmed. Our brains are wired from birth for faith, growth, and learning. And as early as 4 to 7 months, we learn something called object permanence. And that's when babies learn that just because you go like this, it doesn't cease to exist. You can put a ball or a doll or something behind a blanket, and a baby will learn that that ball or that doll still exists behind that blanket. It's not gone forever. When we play peekaboo with a baby at that age, that's why it's so much fun. We're helping them practice this object permanence. We're helping them learn to trust that what they can't see is still there. And as we grow up, we continue to learn these lessons. We understand that the ground underneath of us is solid, that every morning the sun will shine, and that we're going to cycle through days and seasons because of how the earth spins on its axis and rotates on the sun. We know that even though at night we can't see the sun, it still exists. And the older we get, the more practice we have in trusting these things, and they become things we can rely on without thinking about it. It's very similar with faith. The more we practice our faith, the more we use it to come out of our comfort zones, the more we can trust that God is still there and is still with us. Now, having faith doesn't mean that we're not scared or that we don't have worries. It doesn't mean that taking steps out of those comfortable places are easy, and sometimes it doesn't even look like something a sane person would do. It just means that even though we don't always notice, even though it might seem crazy, we believe that God is there, that God is here, that God is with us, and God is the one leading us. Imagine where we would be if the pioneers of our faith had decided not to come out of their comfortable places, if they had let fear win, if they hadn't taken that next faithful step. In every single story, there is a turning point, and every single one of our heroes and sheroes had doubts and fears and anxieties, but they let God draw them out of their comfort zones anyways. Sarah didn't even trust God at first. She took the whole, like, let's have a kid together with Abraham into her own hands. But maybe she was scared. Growing a child is hard work, and it's scary when you're young. Imagine doing it when you're over 100 years old. What if she had said, no, thank you. That's not for me. I'm not going to do that. That sounds like something I would say. What if Moses hadn't faced his fears, and what if he had meant it when he told God to pick someone else to lead the Israelites out of Egypt? Again, that sounds a lot like me. What would have happened if Esther had allowed her fear of speaking up to the king keep her from standing up for her people? Or what if Ruth had allowed Naomi to talk her into staying in Moab? And what if Mary had told God, no thanks, teen pregnancy is not for me, and besides, I'm supposed to get married to that guy and that could ruin everything. This is really hard and really scary. I'm not going to do it. In fact, I was thinking through all of these stories of times when people had overcome fear or worry to do something God had called it. And I can only think of one person who just jumped right in and said, okay, God, and that was David when he went to fight Goliath. But if you've ever met a really overconfident 14-year-old boy, there you go. That's probably what happened. I don't even think Jesus went to the cross without a little bit of something. I can't call it fear or anxiety, but Jesus did not go to the cross with the same confidence that David met Goliath. We know that because the night when he was turned over, he said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And he prays, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Those are not the words of somebody who is not having some kind of feeling about what is going to happen. So I did what I said I wasn't going to do, and I told you all of these things about people and their faith, and they kind of form a line. We've heard it used as the word genealogy sometimes. They form a line straight to Jesus. Straight to Jesus dying on a cross and walking out of that dark tomb. But Jesus is not the end of the line. He is a starting point for millions of other lines, each filled with thousands of people who have stepped out in faith and done something hard. The church only exists today because of all of those people who made decisions to come out and to do the hard work of sharing their faith stories, working for justice and serving their neighbor. The word we hear, martyr, actually comes from the Greek word witness or testify. But because so many people testified to Jesus and his resurrection, they were and killed for that, that meaning of that word has changed for us to mean somebody who has died for their faith. In the past 2,000 years, you can look up story after story after story of women who have turned down marriages or left marriages that promised wealth, security, and safety in order to follow Jesus. We hear stories of men who have sold everything they've owned and wandered out into the desert to start monasteries. People who have spoken truth to those in power, regardless and knowing the consequences of their actions. People who have hid children and families in attics. People who have helped people flee slavery and oppression. People who stood up for what they believed in because of their faith. That group of people that didn't shrink back, those people that acted in faith has grown exponentially. And we usually only hear about those people that have done really big things. But did you know that each one of you are also on that list? You're in one of those lines that come from Jesus. Now, before I go any further, I want to remind you that God will love you forever and for always, Even if you're choosing right now to stay in a safe grave, God is going to love. God loves you. There is no doubt. It doesn't matter what we do. That love does not end. So, when you're faced with something hard, why should we do that hard work of coming out? As natural as it is, I've said it as it is, it should be. It isn't easy. It takes practice. When we were babies, we practiced learning that things existed even though we couldn't see them. Remember? Peekaboo. We practiced trusting that the earth was solid every time we got out of bed and put our feet on the ground. And every morning when the sun shone, we practiced remembering that the sun still exists even though we can't see it. Why do we think that stepping out, coming out of a safe grave is going to be easy and that it won't take practice? Maybe because it's hard. But the reason we're supposed to come out of those safe places is because there's learning and growing out here. It's where we practice our faith. The same way we practice learning about the world around us, we need to practice coming out of our comfortable places. And when we've gotten some practice and learned some things, we grow in our witness and our faith becomes stronger. And I'm going to say this again. We're not promised that coming out of our safe graves will make things easier, safer, or more comfortable. But life, resurrection, does not happen in a grave. In order to live into the promise of Jesus, in order to have a deeper connection with God and with our neighbor, we need to practice coming out of our safe graves. In 2018, my family took one step out of a safe grave and moved to Idaho. We had no jobs. But because we moved here, our children had a chance to go to Luther Heights, and I've watched both of them blossom and grow in their faith. They've become these amazing people that they're my heroes. Each person I encountered has grown me in my faith, and the only reason why I'm on this seminary journey is because of people like Mia and Pastor Ann and Pastor Gretchen who pushed me and encouraged me to take a step out of a safe grave and into something new. My husband even started an entirely new career, and that is something hard for him. Each of us has grown and changed and learned, and none of us is the same person we were in 2018 because we took that step of faith. Butterflies only become butterflies when they emerge from their chrysalis. Birds only become birds when they come out of their egg. Seeds become plants when they shed that seed coat and grow up towards the warmth and the light. And in order for us to become our fullest, truest, most complete selves, God asks us to follow Jesus and all of creation out of our safe graves, out of our comfortable places, and into that resurrection with Jesus, to join with the family and those lines of people of faith. And in doing so, we all together can change the world. So in a minute, there's going to be some music, and I'm going to ask you to take a minute to reflect. I want you to reflect on two different things. First, I want you to think about a time when you did step out of a safe grave, when you came out of a comfortable place in order to try something new. Where was God in that process? You may not have noticed it at the time, but now looking back, as it usually happens, you can see more clearly and you can see how God may have directed your path. And second, and this is the hard one, I want you to think about the safe grave you're in right now and where God is pulling you out of it. What steps do you need to take in faith to be transformed and to join Jesus in the resurrection?
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crosswaite. CUNA United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.